grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, you can see I have a little bit different name on my sermon today. Up and away. Yeah. Up and away. You know, there's a lot of songs that have to do with flying, aren't there? All right, what are they? Well, we just said that one. What up? I'm leaving. John Denver. Who else? Fly me to the moon. Tony Bennett. Frank Sinatra.
I'm flying from the plane. Sorry, it's a country song.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
But it is.
There's a good one. A good hymn. I was saying. You know, there's an old country song, "How Can I Miss You If You Won't Go Away?" Okay, well, we had a hymn up there. What else? Fly Like an Eagle. Dave Miller Band. What else? I Will Fly. Folks, there's almost 1,000 songs that deal with flying. I looked them up. What was that, Dean?
To the moon,
Al. To the moon, Al. Well, it's not a song, but it's pretty descriptive. You know, we have Leonard Skinner, Freebird. Okay? With all the Air Force vets, we have Off We Go Into the Wild Blue Yonder. That was quick. Pardon? Oh, there's another one, yeah. You know, folks, there are a lot of songs that deal with that. Why do we worry about flying so much? Good question, isn't it? You know, because a lot of our myths, history, deal with flight. You know, the first myth is the story of Icarus and Daedalus. Okay? They were imprisoned by a king. They decided they would make wings of bird feathers, put them in by wax. They flew off. And Daedalus tells his son Icarus, don't get too close to the sun because it's going to get hot and wax is going to melt and you're going to go down. And so what does he do? Well, I want to make sure that what you said. It's like telling a kid not to touch a hot stove, right? What's the first thing you do? Yeah. Well, maybe they know what they're talking about. Biblical. What about the book of Ezekiel? That's the whole story of a flight, a traveling through the air, isn't it? Okay, so what does it mean when we rise to the sky? Because today is ascension, right? What does ascension mean? Go up. Okay. Acts. He was lifted up when a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. Now, I find this really interesting because there's so many allusions there. Who remembers what robes mean in the Bible? Remember we talked about white garments, white robes. What's the difference from them? Say it again, Peggy. That's right. When we go through baptism, the Bible tells us we are given a white garment because we're washing the blood of the Lamb, right? But white robes don't come until we're in heaven because that's what people receive when they're saints on earth. Now, what does the story here tell us about the two men? They're in white robes, so they're saints. Now, it doesn't tell us who they are, does it? But yet, at the Transfiguration, when Jesus goes up on the mountain with the three apostles, and he's raised in the air, who's there with him? Moses and Elijah. Okay? And so we know that that's there. Could this be Moses and Elijah again? We don't know. The Bible doesn't say. But I find it's very interesting that the two times we talk about Jesus rising into the air, there's two witnesses with him. Where else do we see two witnesses? the book of Revelation that come down and are here to witness about Jesus. Why do you have to have two witnesses? No, I mean, there's a... That's true, but also in Jewish culture, for something to be true, you had to have two witnesses. Of course, now we have all the apostles there and many other people that saw this. So this miracle that happened in front of everybody. A little hard to refute a miracle when you stand there. Hey, Jesus, you going to have fish today? Yeah, but I think it's time that I went home. And he starts going up in the air. Now, imagine you're there. How would you feel if you're standing there and saw that? Humble, scared, in a panic. You know, folks, we talk about stuff like this. How many of you have ever observed a real miracle in your lives? Well, we have. But have we ever experienced something like Jesus rising in the air in front of us? No. Have we ever seen Jesus raise somebody from the dead? But yet the apostles had that power too, didn't they? Okay? You know, we're studying right now in our Bible class on Wednesday, we're studying, well, I guess it was in this one, we were looking at Acts 15, which is the first Jerusalem Council. When the apostles got together to talk about what is it to be a Christian? And the thing is, anytime you're dealing with people, there are things that can be misunderstood, even from the apostles. But yet we have one faithful witness, and that was Paul. Okay? But that's a story to go on to in another time. You know, I think our gospel, I really like this. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. And while he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. You know, our shortest verse in the Bible is Jesus wept. Remember I told you one time we should have Jesus laughed in there too? In this case, it's Jesus flew. On the last days, where are we going to meet Jesus? In the air. Why is there this emphasis on the air and flight when we're talking about Jesus? Well, first of all, where's heaven? It's in the air. Okay. Neil Armstrong on the moon, 1969. My grandmother. May she rest in peace. Nice lady, born Odessa, Russia. New story, came on TV. And she said, that's foolishness. Foolishness. Man doesn't walk on the moon. That's where God is. Okay. Remember I talked about misconceptions? So where is heaven? Beyond our understanding. I've got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. I've got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. I've got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. Way beyond the blue. We ought to go on the road. What keep we're in? E. Woo-hoo-hoo. That one. But the thing is, look at the illusions in our hymns. This little light of mine, but our home's in glory land. We just had one of our members make that trip. What a blessing. But how do we know where heaven is? Well, we know that if we go up, we go leave the atmosphere, and we go into space. So is that where heaven is? No. In fact, the man that actually came up with all the thought on that was a gentleman by the name of Bathius, around 400 AD. He's also the guy that translated the calendar from the Julian calendar to our modern calendar and screwed up. That's why Jesus was born actually about 30 years before he was born, because he screwed up on the calendar. He paid for that mistake pretty dearly, because he was burned at the stake for heresy because of that. He's the one that had music, well, in Latin, it's musica vocalis, musica instrumentalis, and then finally the last one, it's music of the spheres, all due to Latin. You ever heard the term music of the spheres? Probably. I mean, there's times, especially in cartoons from years ago, that that's the case. But part of the thing is, when we look at these kind of things, we always have allusions to heaven being up there someplace. But yet we know it's not in the sky. So is heaven for real? Boy, that's awful catchy. They ought to make a movie about that. We know that heaven isn't for real. Even if we can't see it or touch it or feel it or smell it, we know it's real because of what? Our faith. Well, part of the thing that we deal with is that Jesus had two natures. He was fully man and he was fully God. Which one did he show at the ascension? God. After the resurrection, and before the resurrection, Jesus refers to himself in two ways. Before the resurrection, he calls himself the Son of Man. He always calls himself the Son of Man, except for one time. Anybody know what it is? You know, off the top of your head. When he was talking to the lady at the well, he refers to himself as the Son of God because she saw it in him. Okay, it's the only time. So when you look at that, Jesus is a fully man. He's in the state of humiliation. He's the same way we are. He eats, he goes to the bathroom, okay, tells jokes. Jesus is a real man. But after the resurrection, he changes. He always refers to himself as the Son of God. Now, when he's on top of that mountain, he blesses all of them. And it's not just a handful of people. It's hundreds of people out there. And as he blesses them, what happens? He rises to heaven. And there's two witnesses that come there and talk. If Jesus can fly to heaven in front of everybody, and we know it's true because there's witnesses and everything else, isn't everything else that he teaches true too? I think so. Well, of course, it'd be easy for us if we were at the ascension too, wouldn't it? Did you see what happened? Yeah, Jesus flew in the air. Wow! You go running back to town. You know what I just saw? As far as in 21st century America. Well, yeah, that's very nice. You know, we don't get excited about Jesus anymore, do we? Why not? Don't we get excited about Jesus? How many of you flew up to heaven today? Well, not that way. Okay. But is he the Son of God? Yeah. How do we know that? Because his miracles prove it. He heals the people who died. He heals the little girl who died and comes out. Talitha, come on out. She does, right? But the thing that I think really gets us in this is that 40-day period. We heard Dean read that. Why is there a 40-day period? All right, here's where we're going to answer that. 40 days in the Bible is a time of probation and trial. Look at the 40 days in the wilderness. Okay? It was Jesus on probation. It was Jesus on trial. During Lent and Advent, we are. Okay? That makes sense, doesn't it? Why the 40 days after the resurrection? Does Jesus need to prove anything anymore? So who is that 40 days for? It's for us. Okay? And what is our trial or our probation? To believe. You know, the Bible refers back to this a lot. What is faith? A belief in things unseen. Thomas, Lord, I believe. Help me with my unbelief. Isn't that the thing that gets all of us? Are our doubts, our unbelief, our unsurety? That's what the ascension proved. Jesus did that miracle in front of everybody. And you remember what Gamaliel, the rabbi who talked to the Sanhedrin? If this is of man, it will fade away. But if it's of God, it will stay. And that speech was given 2,000 years ago. So what is it, of man or of God? It's of God. You know, there are so many things that we look here and we understand. When the day of judgment comes, we too can rest assured that we're going to meet Jesus in the air because his miracles are true, his word is true, and we're going to follow through with what his promise is to all of us. So, when that day of judgment occurs, you know what our theme song's going to be? Up, up, and away. Isn't that neat how I tied that together with that? That's right. Let us pray. May this assurance of the truth of the promise of Jesus lead us to our peace that passes all human understanding. In Christ our Lord. Amen.